Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, April the 6th, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen, and like I said, it is Monday. Of course, this is not the weekend, but with WrestleMania being on Saturday and Sunday, I figured it made more sense to talk non-WWE stuff, you know, Monday, since so much WWE stuff is going on, and we don't talk about that really here on the Weekender show, so wait until Monday. Hope y'all are cool with that, and like I said at the top, welcome to everyone of you who are listening to this. If you did watch WrestleMania, I hope you enjoyed it. I watched the whole thing, night one and night two. There are some things that I really enjoyed. There are some things that I really disliked. If you want my thoughts on WrestleMania just as a whole, myself and Jesse Davin have been doing YouTube live chats, so you can find those on her YouTube channel. That's just search J-E-S-S-I-D-A-V-I-N. That's Jesse Davin. If you want my full thoughts on WrestleMania. But as far as today's Weekender show is concerned, this is what we have in store for you. So we're going to give results for Impact Wrestling's weekly TV show, as well as the TNA kind of throwback show that they did this week. We're going to be giving results for MLW Fusion, a show that we don't talk about a whole lot here on the show, but something that we're going to touch on today. We have NXT UK results and 205 Live results. A big reason why I'm going to throw in MLW this week is, for one, they're a great company, and I like to highlight their talent. But on top of that, there's no new real content from the National Wrestling Alliance. Ring of Honor put out a basically like a best of the Briscoes type show. So not a lot to cover from the NWA or Ring of Honor. And those are two companies that we normally talk about here on the Weekender. But since not much to say there, I threw in MLW this week. And before we get started on all those topics, I do have my recommended show for you for independentwrestling.tv. And I also have an extra free match recommendation on YouTube that y'all can check out as well. So I'm going to start with IWTV. My recommended show to watch this week is Absolute Intense Wrestling's Baby, It's Too Cold Outside. So the company is called Absolute Intense Wrestling, also known as AIW, and the show is called Baby, It's Too Cold Outside, and that's spelled with a 2, like the number 2, like Too Cold Scorpio, who was a part of this show. This show aired originally on December 27th, 2019, so while it is, you know, four or five months old, it's a show that I've picked because there's a lot of great talent on this show, and it's a show that y'all might have missed, and it's newly available on IWTV. So it just got recently uploaded to the site. And although it happened, you know, like I said, a handful of months ago, it's a match, or a show rather, that I think you should go revisit. Or maybe, like I said, possibly be watching it for the first time. These are the matches to expect if you want to check this show out. We had Danhausen versus Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham. Team Create a Pro, which consists of Bear Country, VSK, and CPA. Shout out to VSK. Been seeing him recently on the Major Figure Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel. Shout out to Ryder and Hawkins. The $1,000 Broski, Zack Ryder, is the man when it comes to collecting these figures. I am very jealous of his collection. Or envious, or, you know, what I mean. I'm glad he's getting the figures. I wish I had the kind of money and time and resources that Zack Ryder does to collect figures like he does. Because I have a modest collection myself of stuff, but nothing like what he's assembled. And Hawkins has an awesome collection as well. Just Broski's just on another level. That team took on Team AIW, which consisted of Dominic Guarini, Twan Tucker, and the Philly Marino Experience. We also had Alex Shelley versus Lee Moriarty. Colt Cabana and Swoggle taking on the team of 40 Acres, which consisted of Trey Lamar and AJ Gray. Eric Ryan versus Mance Warner. Manders versus Nick Gage. Too Cold Scorpio versus KTB versus Wheeler Yuta versus Matt Cross. Eric Stevens took on Eddie Kingston, and in the main event, the AIW title is on the line. Matthew Justice defending his belt against Joshua Bishop and Filthy Tom Lawler. So that is a heck of a card. A lot of heavy hitters on this show. And a lot of just unique talents. You know, Danhausen, someone that I highlight often on this show. Incredibly unique talent. Somebody that I watched live years ago at SUP, Southern Underground Pro in Nashville, Tennessee. And he's someone who's really evolved and changed his character over the years to pretty much going viral within the wrestling community. All the Housens you see online, a lot of that's a tribute to him. Also, people worth mentioning, Dominic Guarini, we'll be talking about him when we get to MLW results. Cole Cabana and Swoggle, you know, just still out there and getting it, you know what I mean? Obviously, you've seen Cole Cabana pop up on AEW recently, so, you know, good on him. AJ Gray was in this match. AJ Gray, someone I talk about all the time. He's one of my favorite independent professional wrestlers, and he did an incredible job on commentary at SUP on their last show when they were short a ring announcer because Dylan Hales couldn't make the show because of you know, all these circumstances going on with the world right now. AJ Gray sat in for some of the matches and did an incredible job, as did Wheeler Yuta. He sat in on some of those matches as well, and he was a part of this show too. But AJ Gray's commentary is just so good. I can listen to that guy talk about wrestling forever. He's got a great Twitter as well. We had Mance Warner on this show, you know, total throwback of a wrestler. Done big things in MLW also, which we'll, you know, we talked about MLW on the show, like I mentioned. Just incredible talent. I talk at length about Mance Warner pretty often on this show, so you can go back and listen to that if you want to hear kind of my full thoughts on Mancer. But I think he's got all the talent in the world and still a ton of untapped potential. He can be a massive star in any pro wrestling company on a mainstream level. You had Manders and Nick Gage on this show. Two heavy hitters who are not going to back down with two kind of, I mean, very different move sets, but very similar styles, if that makes sense. Like, the moves that the two do vary quite a bit, and, like, their kind of their style varies quite a bit, but the idea behind what they're doing, like, the realism they're trying to put behind things. Like, Nick Gage is one of the most believable professional wrestlers ever. If you know that guy's background, you know, his story and what he's gone through and dealt with and how long his career's lasted and, you know, his deathmatch history and everything. And then you have Manders, who this is just a few months after he really broke out during the SCI tournament, the Futures Showcase tournament in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Manders really blew up after that, and he's someone who you definitely want to keep your eyes out for. Recently main evented his first SUP show against Jaden Newman. Really great match, really great story, some really crazy stuff that happened during that one. Two Cold Scorpio, part of the show, he was part of the title of the show. Great to see him in there. And in the same match with Matt Cross, who's another legend of independent wrestling and backyard wrestling from all the way back. Remember him as M-Dog 20 back in the day and all that stuff. Eric Stevens versus Eddie Kingston. I mean, come on. Two legends of independent wrestling. Just, this match is exactly what you would expect. These guys just go out there and kill it every time. In the main event, I mentioned these guys. You know, Matthew Justice, I've said a bunch on this show. I think that Matthew Justice is on the top tier of independent talent in the world right now. And he's probably the most likely of anyone on the scene currently to really break out as like a top major star in a major promotion that hasn't already. So, like, I could totally see Matthew Justice as a part of, like, AEW or NXT or something as, like, a top guy in the very near future. He checks every box you could ask for a top performer. And he's crazy enough to do, you know, anything. But he's one of these guys who can really adapt to any situation. Like, he can do the most hardcore crazy stuff, or he can just go in there and have a really good match without any of that. So, very diverse performer, very believable performer, and somebody who gets over in front of every crowd that he's in front of. So I think the world of Matthew Justice. Filthy Tom Lawler I've been a fan of since he was a UFC fighter. I mean, he was one of the best light heavyweights in the UFC's light heavyweight division. And he was basically, I don't know the best way of putting it, and it's a very long story, but he basically had to sit out for years out of MMA competition because of drug test results that were very similar to the results that John Jones deals with and continues to be able to fight. And Lawler sat out multiple years, and when he was finally eligible to return again, the UFC cut him from his contract, if I remember the situation correctly. And it's one of these things where, like, Lawler went out there and completely reinvented himself on the independent wrestling scene. It's in similar fashion to how Matt Riddle did. I don't want to compare the two, but the comparisons are kind of obviously there. They parallel each other in some degrees. So Tom Lawler, he's someone I've always been a fan of. He was very much a character in the UFC as well. A lot of wacky entrance music choices and stuff like that, and walkouts and things he would wear in the ring and stuff. So, or in the cage, I should say, the octagon. But yeah, huge fan of Tom Lawler. And Joshua Bishop, the third man in this match, is somebody who I think has so much untapped potential. I mean, just, he's another guy. He isn't quite at that level and ready just yet, like a Matthew Justice, for instance. But he's somebody that in a few years is going to be in that same spot. And Bishop has the size, the look, the athleticism. I mean, I interviewed him on my personal podcast when he was like, I don't want to quote how many matches he had had because I don't want to be wrong, but he had very few matches in his career. And I actually saw him live during his like first or second match, like in front of a crowd ever. So to watch how this guy has just his career trajectory, that's just been going up and up and up. And he's done some crazy stuff, and he's had some viral moments already in his young career. I mentioned Manders earlier. Manders and Joshua Bishop had one of the hardest hitting matches in the history of Southern Underground Pro, and I was there live for it. Just amazing stuff. So I think the world of Bishop too. And he's somebody that, like I said, is someone who still, there's still a lot of room for improvement, and that's an amazing thing because he's already so good, and he has all these like natural and like physical tools that like he's honestly, of all the people on the independent scene, he might be the one I'm most, and this isn't a knock to anybody, I love it, everyone involved in the scene and everybody who's ever given me any time of day for interviews and stuff like that, I can't thank these people enough. I really, really, really am huge fans of all of them, but Bishop is probably the one I'm the most excited for to see how his future develops. Him and Jaden Newman are along the same lines for me. Two guys that got into the business incredibly young and already have... Newman had, even to a bigger degree, he has a lot of miles on him already for somebody who's so young. Bishop excites me a bit more just because of his physical tools. Like, he's going to be somebody that I think will probably be noticed and put into a important role quicker than someone like Newman probably would. That's, once again, not a knock to Newman. I love Jaden Newman. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever talked to period, when it comes to wrestling and stuff. Like, super awesome dude. And I think the world of him. I hope he becomes a world champion in major promotion at some time in his career. I'm a huge fan of Jaden Newman. I rep his merchandise all the time. I got a Jaden Newman t-shirt I wear around all the time. So huge fan of his. But the difference in the two is, like, not that the two need to really be compared, but just kind of for my line of thinking with Bishop is, like, you know, Newman is someone who just doesn't have the same what he doesn't have in physical ability, he makes up for in character. Like, his facial expressions, the way that he sells, he's like a complete student of the game. Like, so he makes up for the physical things. Bishop just has this presence and this look and this ability that he can get by with doing way less than what Jaden would, but there's still so much of this room for Bishop to just continue to grow and evolve. And when he picks up all the same kind of tools that Jaden has over the years, Bishop, his skill set on top of his physical ability is what really puts him on that level, in my opinion, of like, man, I cannot wait to see. Because like, Bishop right now, you could put Josh Bishop on like AEW TV right now, and he wouldn't look out of place outside of his inexperience. He wouldn't look out of place at all in front of these other performers. He just may have a harder time adapting in the ring to make it look as good as some of the more seasoned veterans do. Once again, not a knock. It's a reps thing. The more that Josh Bishop wrestles, the better he's going to continue to get. And he's already incredible for his age and everything and his experience level. He's already incredible. So he's just going to keep getting better and better and better. By the time he's in like his mid-20s, I think he's someone that the whole wrestling world is going to be talking about. I really do. And I hope the same for Jaden Newman. I hate that I kind of clumped him in there in like almost a negative way. And that wasn't my intent. But if to spin this in a more positive light for Jaden, the fact that I even have him in this conversation of people like that I'm most looking forward to seeing succeed at the next level at some time in the future, that means a lot because I watch independent wrestling constantly. I mean, literally hundreds of performers I see, and Jaden and Josh Bishop are the two that come to mind for me immediately as far as like guys that, you know, just with more seasoning. I mean, geez, quote me on this straight up. Like within the next 3 to 5 years, everyone that's listening to this podcast that didn't know who Jaden Newman and Josh Bishop were are going to be looking back at this going, oh yeah, like they're going to be stars by this point, 3 to 5 years from now, hopefully sooner for both, but that's just kind of my prediction. And that once again is AIW's Baby It's Too Cold Outside. I know I went on quite a tangent there, but I figured I had the time to go deep on my thoughts and feelings about, kind of my personal, mindset when it comes to a lot of these performers, considering there's, you know, less wrestling to talk about, with the promotions we normally cover. So, I apologize if that was a little too going one direction, but maybe y'all enjoyed it. I don't know. Either way, I do recommend checking out this show, AIW's Baby It's Too Cold Outside, and it's available right now to stream on IWTV. Also want to give y'all a free match to check out on YouTube. I was just searching through just stuff to watch, and an old match recently popped up on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel. It is Tyler Black, aka Seth Rollins, versus Kevin Steen, aka Kevin Owens. It's from Ring of Honor Salvation 2020, and I'm recommending it because the two of them just wrestled each other at WrestleMania Night 1 on Saturday. So if you want to see, you know, 10 years ago, I mean a whole decade ago, the two of them were wrestling in Ring of Honor, and if you want to watch, you know, go back and see kind of how the two have evolved and changed and what's different and what's the same from a decade ago between the two, I would recommend that. So recommended match to check out on YouTube this week, Tyler Black versus Kevin Steen from Ring of Honor Salvation 2010. And yeah, once again, there's not really any more Ring of Honor to talk about at the moment because their past versus present show that I was really looking forward to, that I know a lot of people were looking forward to, is obviously postponed due to the circumstances right now. And, you know, Ring of Honor just did the Briscoes, Briscoes trip down memory lane type show for Ring of Honor this week. So that's that. Moving on to results, we're going to start with Impact Wrestling, their weekly show, and that is available on Access TV and Twitch every Tuesday. This week's show started off with Josh Alexander defeating Eddie Edwards, which is kind of crazy considering Eddie Edwards is in the mix to challenge Tessa Blanchard for the world title, along with Michael Elgin and that triple threat coming up. The finish of this match happened when Ethan Page grabbed Eddie Edwards' foot, and Josh Alexander countered a Boston Knee Party into a jackknife cover to get the 1-2-3. After the match, we get some stuff where Tessa comes out to help Eddie after the North attack him after the match. Next match we have is Kylie Rae defeating Cassandra Golden, I believe was the name. Just a jobber, essentially. Quick squash match. Kylie gets the finish, or the win, rather, with a crossface for the tap out. After that, we had Moose defeating Kid Cash. Really, just very short squash match in this one as well. Basically, Moose he hit his spear, the no jackhammer needed, just completely squashed Kid Cash. And, you know, historically speaking, I have been a big fan of Kid Cash. Like, I loved his run in ECW. I liked his short-lived run in WCW, which was only short-lived because the company went under while he was getting his kind of initial push in the company. So obviously that wasn't his fault. I liked his original run in Impact Wrestling and TNA. He actually has a gym in the Nashville area. I've talked to him before. He seems like a nice guy. I just don't really need to see him wrestling on Impact Wrestling in 2020 for the same reasons I don't need to really see Rhino and the Sandman and Sabu and all these other people. I've talked about that so many times, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to reward those of you who are loyal listeners who have been listening to me rant about not wanting to see ECW people in Impact Wrestling in 2020. So I'm going to spare you all that. But for the new viewer, or for the new listeners, I should say, if you want to hear my thoughts, really just pick pretty much any episode of The Weekender that's been uploaded before this right here on Fightful Select. And yeah, I'll tell you how much I dislike seeing all these old ECW guys, you know, in 2020 on these shows, taking spots from people that really could contribute more to the show and could really use the push. After that, we see some stuff between, like, Ace Austin and Fall Aba and Rich Swann and Willie Mack. Sammy Callahan goes out to the ring and he talks about throwing a fireball at Ken Shamrock, which is just crazy that we're even talking about Ken Shamrock in 2020 in Impact Wrestling. Tommy Dreamer comes out. So there's basically this whole mix of new and old talent that leads to an old-school rules street fight match between Tommy Dreamer and Sammy Callahan. Sammy Callahan gets the win after hitting Dreamer with a pile driver for the 1-2-3. Yeah, I mean, it was actually pretty solid as far as, like, for the time that it lasted. And we saw a few pretty hardcore things. Like, you know, Tommy Dreamer hit a nice DVD onto Sammy through some chairs and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, once again, Tommy Dreamer, don't really need to see it. Joey Ryan versus Cody Deaner was up next. Cody Deaner got the win after... I think it was just, he hit him with a clothesline, then drank some beer and hit a DDT. Good to see Cody Deaner get the win. I mean, why not? I'm not a huge fan of Joey Ryan. I really liked Joey Ryan as a cast member on Being the Elite, the whole penis pretender feud he had with Hangman Page. I really enjoyed. But for the most part, Joey Ryan just really isn't for me. I respect what he's done for independent wrestling. I respect what he's done with bar wrestling and PWG and all the stuff he's done. I respect it. And I respect that he's made a full-time living on his own, you know, without the help, really, of these mainstream promotions. Obviously, he's working for Impact Wrestling at the moment, but, you know, he went viral on his own, you know, on the independents, and has really helped that scene for a long time. So I respect him as a person for all the things that he's done, but the character itself just really isn't for me. Like, all the oil and, like, sticking the lollipop in his draw, or his trunks, and, like, feeding it to people and all that kind of stuff. Just not for me. That's kind of the germaphobe in me doesn't like that kind of stuff. For the same reason that I don't like watching Sammy Callahan constantly, like, hawking loogies in people's faces and mouths and stuff like that during matches. Like, I just don't need to see it. Main event of the show, Tessa Blanchard, who, of course, is the Impact World Heavyweight Champion, defeated Ethan Page, got the win with the Magnum for the 3 count. After the match, Michael Elgin shows up and beats up both Tessa and Eddie Edwards, and then holds the belt up. Eddie winds up saving Tessa from an Elgin bomb. So Tessa and Eddie basically team up to get Elgin out of there as the show ends. So a little bit of an alliance between Tessa and Eddie against Elgin as we head closer towards the triple threat match for Tessa's Impact Championship. So that'll do it for Impact Wrestling this week's... sorry, it won't. We have the TNA show. Forgot about this. So this aired right after the Impact show. This aired on Access TV. And this was basically a throwback show, just trying to turn back the clock and put together some matches from the TNA days, but, like, current day. So these are, like, current day matches with throwback performers, basically. The first match, Hernandez defeated Chase Stevens after hitting him with a border toss for the 3 count. Hernandez is somebody that I feel like could have been such a bigger deal in pro wrestling. And now it's kind of weird, and this isn't his fault, but now when I see him and I hear that name and I look at him and stuff, I think about Aaron Hernandez, which I shouldn't. But, you know, that Netflix documentary from Aaron Hernandez is still so fresh in my mind because it was so recent that, like, that name just kind of strikes that chord. Then I look at him, and it's like this big Hispanic dude who... I'm not saying that the two look similar, because they really don't. You can tell the two clearly apart, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, I just see that and it's like, for whatever reason, my mind goes straight to just thinking about Aaron Hernandez, and that's not Hernandez's fault. Like, the Impact Wrestling Hernandez, not his fault at all. But the guy had like all the physical tools to be a major star in wrestling. It's just, for whatever reason, never really worked out for him. I mean, he had a decent career, but I feel like he could have been a really big deal. Chase Stevens is most known for, most likely, for doing a shooting star press off of the Six Sides of Steel. He had a tag team called the Naturals back in the day. That was pretty good. And yeah, Hernandez gets the win in the opener. After that, Suicide and Manic team up, which is very strange because technically I think they're the same character, or at least that's how I understood it. Suicide and Manic defeat Kid Cash and Johnny Swinger. I mean, what can you really say? I'm not really into Suicide or Manic. I don't need to see Johnny Swinger or Kid Cash still wrestling. If I had to choose between the two, I'd rather see Kid Cash in there than Johnny Swinger in 2020. But I mean, I just don't really care either way about that match, to be fully honest. And then in the main event, Rhino defeated Madman Fulton by disqualification after OVE comes out. And that leads to a big brawl between the originals and the current roster, which consists a lot of originals, so it's kind of weird. But Madman Fulton, to my knowledge, was never a part of Impact Wrestling, so I don't know why he was a part of this show, other than, you know, if they're doing stuff with Rhino versus OVE and stuff. But, like, I mean, this honestly, like, not much about this is what I would have expected when tuning into a throwback TNA show. Like, obviously, they don't have a lot of their original talent. Like, they clearly can't get, like, most of the people because they're either signed to AEW or WWE/NXT. But, I mean, this was a pretty weak showing as far as who they put on this show and then, like, called it a throwback TNA show. So, that's all I'll say about that. Moving on, we have MLW Fusion. This is episode 103, and these are the results. And once again, Major League Wrestling, shout out. You know, they do a lot of really good work, and I talk about them occasionally on this show, not as often as I probably should. And maybe I'll mix that in more often going forward, depending on what's going on. First match on the show, Dominic Guarini defeated Dr. Dax by submission. Got the win with a variation of a dragon sleeper. I mentioned Dominic Guarini during the AIW recommended show on IWTV. Guarini's great. He's a former Bone Storm champion at SUP, the second ever, the first after Curt Stallion. And, you know, the more that he gets reps in, the better he gets. And he's somebody who I think is best suited in his tag team right now with Kevin Q, Violence is Forever, formerly known as SADCOMF. I'm an OG SADCOMF fan. I still have a SADCOMF t-shirt before the name change. That might be worth something one day, maybe. Both guys are great individually, but even better together, in my opinion. And Guarini with a solid win to open up MLW this week. After that, we had an MLW World Openweight Championship match. Alexander Hammerstone retains his title by beating T-Hawk. Gets the win after the Nightmare Pendulum for the pinfall, 1-2-3. And in the main event, King Mo, a.k.a. Muhammad Lawal, former MMA fighter. I was a really big fan of him throughout his MMA career. King Mo defeats Low-Ki by knockout after a ref stoppage. The finish came after Tom Lawler distracted Low-Ki, and that led to the knockout from King Mo. And it's cool because, you know, King Mo has Dan Lambert in his corner, who's the head of American Top Team, which is one of the biggest MMA teams in the world, one of the most respected, heavily decorated, same place that, like, Bobby Lashley fights out of and stuff like that. So, yeah, really, really cool. And you can see this, like, MMA group formed with King Mo and Tom Lawler and Dan Lambert and, you know, Colby Covington's there. A lot of wrestling fans may know him because he's basically a pro wrestling character who does mixed martial arts. So you got like Colby Covington there. Jorge Masvidal fights out of there. Dustin Poirier. It's So there's a lot of talent in that team, and it'd be cool to see more of them popping up on MLW if they can make that happen. They made it happen on Impact Wrestling for a little while there, if y'all remember. At one point, there was that Lashley storyline where they incorporated King Mo as a part of that, and Colby Covington, and so on. So good stuff from MLW. Maybe we'll... if you want to hear more about MLW, let me know in the comments here underneath the audio at Fightful Select, or hit me up on Twitter at Fight Talk _ FIGHTTALK _, and let me know if you want to hear more about MLW. Moving on, we have NXT UK results. Show started off with Kaylee Ray and Ginny defeating Piper Nevin and Dani Luna. The finish happened after a gory bomb on Luna for the 1-2-3. Zaya Brookside defeated Amelie. Finish came when Amelie what's the name of that move? The Broken Wings. Sorry about that. The Broken Wings for the 1-2-3. And in the main event, Elijah Dragunov won the NXT UK number one contendership by winning a battle royal. The people involved in this match were Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, Joe Coffey, Dragunov, Ridge Holland, NXT Cruiserweight Champ, Jordan Devlin, Alexander Wolfe, Noam Dar, Tyson T-Bone, Dave Mastiff, Cassius Ohno, Travis Banks, Saxon Huxley, Flash Morgan Webster, A-Kid, Kenny Williams, Amir Jordan, Ashton Smith, Oliver Carter, and Ligero. Dragunov got the win by last eliminating former NXT UK champion Tyler Bate. So that's it for NXT UK this week. Solid show. Just, you know, be interesting to see how much more they're going to film and all this stuff going forward, because they're able, you know, with it being pre-taped, they're able to have like a back catalog of this stuff ready to go, but we'll see where it all heads. But they're really pushing Dragunov like big time. And I like that. I know Triple H, people have said Triple H is like super high on him, and it's showing based on his push. But yeah, another solid week of NXT UK. And lastly, we have 205 Live results. The show started off with Kushida defeating Danny Burke. Kushida got the win by submission with a Kimura lock. Good match. Just solid. You're always going to get solid matches with the two of them. Main event, we had Jack Gallagher defeating Tyler Breeze. Got the win with a discus elbow for the 1-2-3. So interesting seeing, you know, Gentleman Jack kind of switching up his moveset a little bit, using the discus elbow to get the win. Him and Tyler Breeze, you know, it's weird to see Tyler Breeze in this spot. Like, he beat Austin Theory a couple weeks ago on NXT with the spinning heel kick, or the beauty shot, whatever he calls it. Can't remember. I think it's beauty shot. And then he's losing on 205 Live to Gentleman Jack. This is a really strange position for him to be in, but at least he's able to get in there and be in front of a camera, because he was doing nothing on Raw or SmackDown, and I believe Fandango is injured at the moment, so if they were planning on keeping them as a tag team, you know, that was going to be on hold, and his whole career probably would have been on hold unless he made the move to 205 Live and NXT. So in that regard, it's a positive. But yeah, kind of strange. But either way, solid hour of wrestling. Obviously, no fans there. They did this right after SmackDown this past Friday. So yeah, no wrestlers there. But no fans there. Jeez, my brain is mush at this point between all the wrestling and podcasting I've been doing and video editing I've been doing. So yeah, another solid hour of wrestling from 205 Live. All four performers in the two matches, just solid. You know, if you got extra time and want to watch some wrestling, that's what 205 Live and NXT UK are for me, at least at this point. You know, obviously I cover it every week here on this show, but for the most part, like if I was just a fan of this stuff, you know, if you got some extra time and you want to see a few solid matches from people who are in general kind of underutilized in the grand scheme of things, 205 Live and NXT UK are solid shows. Solid wrestling. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at Fight Talk _. That's FIGHTTALK _. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.